is Patsy with a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing, and for everyone who wants to know the story behind the book. Right now, I get to turn to somebody, wow, I admire so much, Eugenia Lovett West. Hi, how are you?
Oh, Patsy, it is such a joy to be with you again.
Wow, this is so amazing.
Call me Jeannie, please.
Okay, because Eugenia is a full name, boy. I bet when you were young, people would go around, exactly, Jeannie's a great name, too.
It's a little easier than Eugenia.
It is. Well, this is so exciting because we are celebrating your birthday. And tell my listeners, what birthday is this?
It's Sunday.
I know.
I'll be 99. I'll be in my 100th year, which I can hardly believe.
You are so amazing. I admire you so much. I talk about you often because, you know, I will get young people who will, you know, they're in their 20s. They say, oh, well, I tried to write a book. I can't write a book. I can't do it. And I say, yeah, well, get with the program. I mean, if Eugenia Lovett West can write a book about cybercrime, when she's in her 90s, and most young people don't know anything about cybercrime, and you wrote, you know, Firewall is such a great book. I thought, my goodness, how exciting to do that kind of research and write such a marvelous book.
Well, that was fun, but lately, I've changed to doing historical novels set in the American Revolution, and the last novel that was published was called Sarah's War, 1777, and right now I'm working on the sequel, Sarah's War, which is, again, in the American Revolution, set in the next year, 1778, with a new cast of characters, and Patsy, I just try so hard to get my readers to be immersed in that very dangerous time and care about these people who are, you know, our country was not formed. It was divided between the patriots who wanted independence and the loyalists who wanted to stick to the king. And you wouldn't believe the espionage, the dirty tricks that were going on. So it's a kind of a fun book to write because, and the subtitle is Lovers and Spies in the American Revolution.
Oh, that's a great one because I love Sarah Champion. She is such a wonderful character. When first read Sarah's War, I was just captured by your deep understanding of the Revolutionary War and what it meant and how it relates to today that, you know, people really do need to know what they went through. This was not an easy time.
Oh, it was the most incredibly difficult time when you think. There was no structure. There was no president yet. All you had really was a Congress that sent representatives twice a year or so to Philadelphia, and they, of course, it was like 13 little countries. They each wanted to protect their own little fiefdom. And for those men, those founding fathers and mothers, to form this country, it's just a miracle. You can hardly believe it happened, and you surely do not want to throw it away.
Exactly. And, of course, Sarah was a parson's daughter, and I remember her brother was killed in the Battle of Long Island. And when she decided to do something about it, she didn't just, you know, sit there and mope around. She decided to get into the action, and her adventures as a spy on the British officers, it's a fascinating story.
Well, thank you. Those kind words are much appreciated.
I think the dichotomy of that you show there of how the British were living sort of a high life. They were, you know, partying and they were dancing and they were having festivities. And for them, it was a game. They were coming over to play in America. And then for our people, the patriots who wanted something new, who wanted something to be free. Wow, you write it so beautifully.
Well, it's such a contrast. I mean, I just happened to read about these high-living British officers, and then the contrast of George Washington 20 miles away in Valley Forge, you know, bleeding feet in the snow, everybody, half of his army either down with dysentery or deserting. Again, it's a miracle. It was a miracle that they survived.
It was, and I admire you so much. One, because your writing's so great, but also there's a lot of research in, well, now in both of these books.
Well, it's interesting. I mean, that's what half the fun of is sort of putting pieces of the puzzle together. Oh, yes. I mean, George Washington was at Middlebrook at this time, or he was here and there. But I don't claim in any way to be a historian. I just have this one little, I work on this one little slice of life in those days. But it's fun trying to throw in the details, you know, what the people were wearing. I have a marvelous old map of old Philadelphia, so I can take my characters from street to street. And you know, as all your writers know, it's the details that really can kind of make a book come alive. So that's, it's a challenge. It's a challenge.
Well, the details are what give a book depth. When you have all these different layers, you learn about what they eat, what they were wearing, where they were, the streets they were walking on. And for people who have been to Philadelphia, you know, some of the streets are familiar. So it just layers the book. So you never get bored. There's always something new when you turn the page, something that you're going to learn, something that sort of opens your mind. That's why your books are so good.
Well, you just do... You try, you do the best you can, and I'm just, you know, just you just try to have the reader understand what these people were going through, and it's not easy. And honestly, Patsy, this book that I'm working on, The Brave Ones, is much harder than Sarah's War because there wasn't as much pivotal, exciting events going on. You did have the downfall of Benedict Arnold. You know, he comes into Philadelphia as a conquering, you know, military hero, and he goes out as a traitor, you know, one of the greatest traitors that this country has ever had. But I have to work so hard to enlarge these characters, do far more with them than I did in Sarah's War. So it's hard work, honey.
And you talked there about dirty tricks. What were some of the dirty tricks you discovered?
Well, you know, the spies will try to infiltrate Congress or a lawyer or a patriot's home. There's a great deal of killing going on. These networks of spies that are sort of set up and get military information. And in some ways, you know, getting information and spying was more important than the military battles. Winning the information war was huge.
I'm looking forward to this one. I know it's going to be great. And, you know, it's just, you are such a marvel. And because there are not too many people around who still remember D-Day. And so my father, of course, was in D-Day. And you remember it.
Oh, vividly. You know, my husband, I was married in 1944 to a fighter pilot with the 8th Air Force who flew missions over Germany. Not too many, but because it was towards the end of the war. And, I was I was deeply involved in D-Day.
Wow. You know, tell us a little bit more about that period of time. Where you were when you heard about what was happening, and you must have been pretty frightened.
Oh, well, I was. I mean, I was very young. I mean, when we were married, it was a real war wedding, which lasted 60 years. I don't think our family thought it ever would, because we were both 20 when we got married. But so I was, of course, he was overseas, and I was living at home, and I was working for I'd worked for Harper's Bazaar, but then I decided that was a little too frothy for that time, so I was working for the American Red Cross. And so that's where I was. I was working for the American Red Cross, and just worried, you know. We were rationed. We were involved in the war effort, but no gas. You know, you had to, your cars, you had to watch where plan ahead where you were going to go because you were very rationed for gasoline. But, of course, we didn't have the terror, the dreadful bombings that Europe did.
But you were listening to it about it on the radio?
Oh, yeah, because we didn't have television. We didn't have television until into the 50s after the war. I mean, everything was radio then, or newspapers, of course. I mean, newspapers were huge. That's really where you got most of your news, on the newspapers.
Well, your husband, of course, being a pilot, and you know my husband was a pilot. Pilots are very special people, aren't they?
Oh, they are. They are. Very brave.
Very, very brave. You know, so it's so exciting what, you know, all these years, and then you decided, you know, of course you were writing for magazines, but when you started writing novels, that was an exciting turning point in your life.
Well, it was. I mean, I started out being a journalist, doing, you know, freelancing for local papers, but then you get to a point where you think, 300 words about the, you know, the Tuesday night at the sewage, and so why not, you know, why not try to write? So I wrote my first novel, which was absolute trash, you know, into the wastebasket. But then the second one was, again, a historical novel set in Jamaica, and that was picked up by Doubleday. And that had to be one of the most exciting moments of my life, you know, to finally, you know, be published.
And then, of course, you went on and wrote a wonderful mystery series, Emma Street Mystery, about a former opera singer, which, again, that was an unusual character and wonderful character.
Well, she was as real to me as one of my own daughters. You know, I was very fond of Emma, and I kind of miss her. But I love Sarah, and I now love Louisa, who's my main protagonist. But I'm at heart, I like to be a page turner, so sort of struggle to keep everything moving fast.
Well, isn't it wonderful when characters take over your life? I mean. And I think with Sarah often, particularly when there is talk about George Washington and about the Revolutionary War, and they want to tear down statues, they want to, you know, get rid of this, they want to get rid of that. And I think about Sarah, and I think about a woman like that that you created. You, and once you create somebody like that, they do become like so real. I can envision what Sarah is doing and how she would feel about people tearing down statues.
Well, that's what writers try to do. You know, we try to make those characters believable. And sometimes they get into situations that you have to try to make the incredible credible, you know, and make the stretch because for the poor reader, you know, when you put these characters into something that's pretty wild, and to make it credible for the reader is tough.
And you come out with the characters, and they become a part of you.
Absolutely.
And, of course, Emma Street, one of the reasons I loved it was because she's a former opera singer, and I've always loved opera, and so I love all that, the connection to... That, of course, connected a lot with your travels with your husband when he was, you know, doing international business, and you did a lot of traveling with him.
Oh, I did. And by that time, my children were pretty well grown. I had four children, four grandchildren, one great-grandchild, and that I love and adore. And, by that time, I was pretty free to go with him or even go off on my own. But I was taking notes, you know, and being in a big international business, we traveled first class or private jet, or we stayed at the best hotels, you know. So I was able to put that into Emma's life. She's not on the subway and going back to from Hoboken to 32nd Street. She's living the high life.
I related a lot to your books, too, because at one point I was in that same situation where we traveled, same thing. You know, just thinking about traveling today makes you shiver. You don't want to do it. But, boy, we had fun in those days when we were traveling.
Oh, my gosh, yes. Oh, it was wonderful.
Oh, the flights, when you look back on it, you know, people used to get dressed up to go flying. I mean, when we went to the airport, we got dressed up to go to the airport.
Absolutely. Get on the plane with a good suit and your, you know, not maybe not your pearls.
And the service was so good.
Yep. Yeah, and no hassle. You know, you just got to the airport and you got on the plane, basically.
I know. I can't even. I remember one time, and we were flying out of Hamburg, and we were running late. We ran to the plane, and they were just about to close the door, and we just ran straight down the hallway, straight into the plane. You know, you can't do that today. And of course, we didn't need masks.
No.
So that's one of the reasons I think I enjoy the Emma Street Mysteries so much. That's one of the fun things about what you great writers do. You take us back and you take us into a different world. And for a little while, we're out of the world of sitting around with our masks on.
I think that's a very important aspect of life, and is to be able to, and writing, is to provide escape for people. As you're saying, something to take you out of your whatever you're doing, some of it maybe not so great, and lose yourself. I certainly have benefited from that all my life.
Well, I think all of us readers do. That's what books can do. And that's why when I talk to groups of people and say, reading, first of all, just be a reader, because that makes you a richer person, a fuller person. You have something to talk about. And then, of course, try writing, because it's never too late.
No, it isn't.
And you certainly have proven that. It's amazing. I think it's just wonderful that we have this opportunity to talk to you. And my listeners, I get wonderful emails from my listeners. I know today I'm going to have so many wonderful emails from listeners who are listening to you now. And knowing that you can remember presidents. You can remember. Do you remember when Truman was elected? Was that a surprise?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, it was quite a shock. Of course, none of us knew how sick FDR was. We had no idea. So I think the shock was when he died, and nobody really knew who Truman was, but. It was an interesting time.
Amazing. Your writing career, first book was published. What year? You've produced so much in really a short period of time.
Yeah, because I didn't start until I was in my 50s. So that should give your readers who are at least around that age. And if I had to do it all over, I would take advantage of all the technology that's come up, you know, able to sort of build a great fan base and all the social networking that you can do now that when I started, you were just totally in the hands of your publisher. But it's easier to publish now, too, I think, for people who are starting to write. Much easier. You've got many different ways to go.
Well, I just want to tell you, Jeannie, that you are an inspiration to me, to all of my listeners, and I want to thank you so much for joining us today. When you're back here next year, and we're celebrating, by then I hope the new book will be released. The name of the new book is going to be?
Right now, temporary title, probably. It's The Brave One. Subtitle is Lovers and Spies in the American Revolution.
Ooh, I love it. That's intriguing. And, of course, Louisa is going to be another one of your great characters, like Emma and Sarah. And, again, I want to thank you so much for being on Joy on Paper today. It's always a joy to talk to you.
Thank you. You're a treasure. Thank you so much.
We'll be talking to you next year, okay?
Okay.
I am talking to Eugenia Lovett West. It is her birthday.